Good afternoon. This is Pastor Farrell Shepherd welcoming you to another Sending Forth the Light radio broadcast here from Island Ford Baptist Church, located at 1415 Island Ford Road in Madisonville, Kentucky. We're so glad and grateful to be able to come to your place of listening over the WSOF and WAJJ FM radio stations. We're glad that God's granted us this opportunity, this privilege to be in your listening presence today. This broadcast is for Wednesday, April the 8th, and I'd like to encourage you, if you have the opportunity, to come and be with us. Visit with us tonight in our regular Wednesday night services here at the Island Ford Baptist Church. Lord willing, we'll be gathering in and starting service up about 7 o'clock. We'll be having singing and praying and preaching and hopefully praising the Lord. And so we'd love to have you come and be a part of the services, and would be a real blessing and an honor for us to be able to worship with you. And we'd like to encourage you to come out and be with us if you don't have a place that you're supposed to be. Now, if you've got a local church and it's a church where they're preaching the truth and standing on the King James Bible, living right and doing right, then that's where you ought to be. That's where you're supposed to be. But if you're, for some reason, traveling and not going to be able to be at your church tonight, or if you don't have a place that you're faithfully attending and supposed to be at, then we'd encourage you and invite you and welcome you to be with us tonight in our services here at the Island Ford Baptist Church at 7 p.m. We'd love to have you with us. And let me mention that I'm reading my text today, as I have been all week, out of Jude. Of course, there's only one chapter, Jude verses 3 and 4 and 8, and also taking a verse of Scripture from 2 Peter, and I'll be getting to that in just a moment. But we're going to go to the Lord in prayer and ask you to pray with us as we get our broadcast going. Heavenly Father, Lord, I want to thank you for your goodness and grace and mercy. I want to thank you, Father, for how that you've helped us and how that you've enabled us and allowed us, dear God, to be able to make this broadcast and to be able to enjoy the blessings of this week and this day. How good, Lord, you've been to us. I want to thank you that Jesus did get up out of the grave. We don't know the exact day as far as which Sunday it was. We know it was early on a Sunday morning, because you said it was on the first day of the week after the end of the Sabbath. And Jesus got up, and we're glad, Lord, that we know that for a fact. And that's why Sunday's now called Lord's Day. And we're glad, Lord, that we can celebrate the resurrection of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, because he got up from the grave. Every saint and child of God has the opportunity of knowing they too will one day get up out of the grave. Amen. And I want to thank you, Lord, for that. I pray, dear Lord, for those that are unsaved, those that have never trusted Christ as their Lord and Savior, never been birthed into the family of God, never been brought to a place of faith and repentance in the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, I pray for them that you'd draw them. Lord, I pray that even right now you'd prick their heart. Lord, you'd stab them in their heart with the sword of the Spirit. Let the word of God divide asunder the soul and spirit. Lord, I pray do that work that needs to be done there. And Father, I pray that you'd get the glory, draw those sinners and save them before it's eternally too late. I pray to the Lord for those that have lost their loved ones that have passed away. Father, I pray for comfort, strength, and help there. I pray, Lord, for conviction in those services, that the sinners might hear the truth and be saved there as well, and thy will might be done. And Father, I do pray for our services tonight. Would you meet with us? Help us not just be routine, not just be just formalism, but Lord, I pray that it be a genuine meeting with the people of God and meeting with God himself. And so I pray, Lord, you to have your way and get the glory and the honor. And Lord, we do ask these things in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen and amen. Well, I appreciate you praying with us at that time. And right before we go to our text in the book of Jude, we'll get you, if you will, listen to this good song by our family, and hope it'll be a blessing to your heart. All right, I hope that song was a blessing. I thought since we just celebrated Resurrection Day, we'd play that song by our family. That's the whole family, my wife and I, singing along with our children, singing Who Rolled the Stone Away? And I'm glad Jesus got up from the grave. Amen. Well, we've been preaching and teaching on some notes and outlines and thoughts that we had used some years ago at Vision Baptist Church there in Millers Creek, North Carolina, on the real story of King James. And, of course, I've expanded those thoughts and using those over the broadcast. We've been on it now for a few weeks, and I really didn't intend on going this in-depth, but it's been a blessing, and I hope people have been helped by it, and I hope they've been instructed and inspired to stay with the King James Bible, not let the detractors destroy your Bible and take your Bible away from you. We ought to stand that. We used to sing that song as children of the B-I-B-L-E. That's the book for me. I'll stand alone on the Word of God. Sometimes we feel like we may be standing alone, but if we are, we're just fulfilling what we said we'd do in the song. Amen. Stand alone, if need be, on the Word of God, the King James Bible. Amen. I mentioned how that these detractors will try to say that the Bible's not inspired. They'll try to say that there's errors in your Bible. They'll try to say that they don't understand the these and the thous and all that kind of stuff. And then if that doesn't work, they'll try to get you to quit using the Bible by denouncing your intelligence, your education. And then if that doesn't work, then they'll do things such as denounce the character of the man, King James, and that has been done quite often. Matter of fact, Moody Monthly Magazine came out with two articles back in the 80s talking about how that they said King James was a pervert. King James was a sodomite. They called him a homosexual, and that he was a sodomite. That's what the Bible calls them. And they tried to denounce the character of King James. Now, I've said this probably on every broadcast, but I believe we need to say it again. King James did not write the King James Bible. Matter of fact, the King James Bible is technically called the Authorized Version. That is the name, the Authorized Version. But it is commonly known as the King James Bible because King James was the authority that authorized the gathering of the translation committee. And then those men translated that Bible from the Greek and Hebrew and the original languages into the English that we have today. Amen. And in that translation, King James was just the king. He was just a man on the throne that made that. He did handpick many of the translators. I understand that. He was a very wise man. He was a very intelligent man as far as the languages that he knew and the ability that he had. And yet he didn't put his hand to it. He allowed these men of higher intellect and men of greater education to do that. Amen. And I've said before, nobody that knows the facts will denigrate or downplay the education of those men that were on that translation committee, more highly educated than men that we know of today that are supposedly getting a better version, and by the way, have to come out with another better version next year, and then one even better than that next year. I think we ought to just stay with the old King James. Amen. Now, having said all that, they come up with these statements about King James being such a wicked man. And a man by the name of Dr. Phil Stringer wrote a book some years ago entitled The Real Story of King James. And that's the thought that I'm using some quotes from his book. The subtitle of that book is this: Was King James really the ungodly man that his modern critics proclaim him to be? Now, having said all that, I've been preaching to you and reading to you some excerpts, for example, from the life of King James, a brief biography. I talked to you about the origins of the attacks against King James. I talked about some contemporary witnesses of the morality of King James. And then I started on Monday talking to you about King James's personal marriage and his personal teachings on morality about marriage. Amen. His moral teachings about marriage. And I'm not going to repeat these things, but I just for a touch, a little bit here, I mentioned that King James was married to Anne of Denmark. She was the daughter of the King of Denmark. He married her in 1589. They remained married until her death in 1619. And King James' modern critics say that the fact that he stayed with her till death do you part meant nothing, because many times sodomites or rulers would stand behind or hide behind that public marriage that for appearances' sake. However, King James, he sired 8 children. He and Anne had 8 children together. He loved her and was affectionate with her in public, and wrote her many psalms and hymns and or poems and sonnets. And And he mourned her when she passed away. And so I could just go on and talk about that. I mentioned last week or yesterday on last broadcast about how that he joked with the Puritan preacher John Reynolds that had never been married and didn't understand the devotion that that King James put there towards his marriage. And James joked with him about how that he could not be thought to understand it because he did not have a wife of his own. But James said that that wife deserves his morality, and that wife deserves his honor and his respect. And I want to tell you, that is true. That is true, even in the day we live. Now, let me read you another comment about something that King James went on to say concerning morality and concerning marriage. He says this. He says, marriage is one of the greatest actions that a man does all of his time. In other words, in all the time that he lives, one of the greatest things a man does is that he gets married. He goes on to say, when you are married, keep inviolably your promise made to God in your marriage, which stands in the doing of one thing and abstaining from another, to treat her in all things as your wife and the half of yourself, and to make your body, which then is no more yours but property hers, common with none other. In other words, King James said, keep yourself pure. Keep your wedding vow. Stay true to your wife. Stay true to your wedding vows. Amen. And then I underlined this phrase, and this is something that King James said. He said, I trust I need not to insist here to dissuade you from filthy vice of adultery. Remember only that solemn promise that you made to God at your marriage. Amen. He called adultery a filthy vice. By the way, the Bible says that it is dishonoring their bodies one with another. And that's not talking about sodomy. That's talking about adultery. Amen. Amen. Well, then he said, this is another quote from King James, and for your behavior to your wife, the Scripture can best give you counsel therein. Treat her as your own flesh. Command her as her Lord. Cherish her as your helper. Rule her as your pupil. Please her in all things reasonable, but teach her not to be curious in things that belong not to her. You are her head. She is your body. It is your office to command and hers to obey, but yet with such sweet harmony as she should be ready to obey you as you command, as willing to follow as you go before her, your love being wholly knit unto her, and all her affections lovingly bent to follow your will. Amen. And that comes from a quote from the book that King James personally wrote himself. Amen. And that is a book entitled, or actually that comes from the book King James Unjustly Accused, but it's a quote from the writings that King James gave himself. Amen. Amen. Well, King James was saying that you need to be true to your wife, you need to stay true to your wife, and that you need to be conscious of what the Bible says about marriage. Amen. Now, as you can see from these excerpts that I read to you, these quotes from King James, that King James was not only a moral man, but he was a biblical man in relation to his marriage. He taught biblical truths such as the honor of marriage and the judgment of God upon adultery. By the way, that comes from Scripture, Hebrews 13:4. Marriage is honorable in all, and the bed undefiled. But whoremongers and adulterers God will judge. Amen. By the way, in these sermons and these messages, now, there have been times that I have preached strongly against the sin of sodomy. And I'm telling you, America started down the wrong road years ago when we started backpedaling and soft-pedaling this thing of fornication and adultery. When we started saying that it's all right to have multiple partners in life. Listen, God made man for one woman, and he made woman for one man. Amen. He never intended on this multiple partnership. Amen. Amen. God never intended on marrying, divorcing, and remarrying. God never intended on shacking and then leaving and going with another. God never intended on acting like animals, acting like dogs. Amen. God gave us an ability to reason. He gave us a conscience, and he made us conscious of the fact that God made Adam and Eve, and that's the way he intended it to be, one man, one woman, for life. Amen. And when we started making it, just going easy on fornication, by the way, fornicators are not saved according to the King James Bible. Amen. That does not mean that a Christian, that a saved person can never commit it, but it means they can't live in that lifestyle. They can't continue on because God will judge and God will deal with His child that is in sin. Amen. An adulterer is not a Christian according to the King James Bible. If you're living in adultery, I'm talking about you're cheating and you continue to cheat. There's no chastisement. There's no judgment of God upon you. You are not saved according to the Bible. The Bible says that He chastens every son that He loves. Amen. And if you can get by with sin, and by the way, if you can say that it's not sin, if you can belittle it and you can whitewash it and say that it's not sin, you're headed down the same road as the sodomite who says they were born that way and God will never judge them because of their sin. Matter of fact, they declare that it is no sin, but the Bible says that it is. All right, the Bible not only says sodomy is a sin, but the Bible says that adultery is sin and that fornication is sin as well. Amen. Well, let me get back to these teachings that King James gave. He not only taught about the honor of marriage, he not only taught about the judgment of God upon adultery, but he taught about the honor due to the wife. Amen. Now, Ephesians chapter number 5, verses 25 through 31. The Bible said, "Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave Himself for it, that He might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that He might present it to Himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. For no man ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourisheth and cherisheth it, even as the Lord of the church. For we are members of his body, and of his flesh, and of his bones. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother, and shall be joined unto his wife, and they two shall be one flesh." So the Bible says that we ought to honor our wife. King James was not only a moral man, but was a biblical man. He spoke of the honor due to the wife. Then he spoke of the honor due to the husband in Ephesians chapter number 5 and verse number 22 through verse number 24. The Bible says, "Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church. And he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything." Amen. So the wife deserves honor, and the husband deserves honor. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 33. "Nevertheless, let every one of you in particular so love his wife, even as himself, and the wife see that she reverence her husband." Now, I know those verses are familiar to you in the fact that I preached for maybe a month or more on the duties of husbands and wives. I'm simply telling you that King James was a moral man that taught morality and demonstrated morality. Most all of you know that kings, monarchs in the past, have lived in such a flagrant way as to have multiple partners. They have many times divorced their wives and taken another wife, or had a plurality of wives, or they've had mistresses on the side. Matter of fact, I mentioned that maybe it was yesterday on the broadcast that in France that the mistress was just considered a natural part, a normal part of the king's court, and was even part of the leadership there and the administration, if you want to say it that way. There's part of that group and part of the parliament. Well, and the fact that King James did not have a mistress, they say, proves that he might have been a sodomite. No, the fact that he didn't have a mistress proves he was a moral man, and he taught against such things. He taught that he ought to keep himself pure, that he ought to stay true to his wife. And by the way, that's teachings that need to be reminded to us today. I'm shocked and amazed that people that attend independent, fundamental, Bible-believing Baptist churches people that attend Pentecostal churches, people that attend churches that are preaching the Bible and are supposed to be standing for holiness and godliness in life. I'm amazed at those people that sit on those pews and yet they think there's nothing about stepping outside the marriage bonds and dating another man or dating another woman or flirting with some woman down on the job or in a restaurant or such as that. They think nothing of not, I mean, going way beyond flirting. I mean, I'm talking about hugging and kissing and committing adultery. That's what the Bible calls it, adultery. I'm telling you, God's going to judge such things. But those that walk in darkness are expected to live in darkness. But those that walk in light ought to live in the light. Amen. If you've got the Spirit of God in you, listen, you can sin. It is possible for you to fall into sin. But I'm going to tell you something. You can't get by with sin. You cannot get by with sin. I was speaking a moment ago about the chastening hand of God. I've only got about a minute left on my broadcast, so let me just deal with this thought just a moment. With chastening hand of God. God chastens every child that is His. When they do wrong, He chastens them. Now, sinners also reap the judgment of God. Be not deceived, God is not mocked. For whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. That's what the Bible says. So when judgment comes, is it the chastening hand of God? Or is it just reaping what you've sowed? Well, I'll tell you one way to know. The Bible says that the chastening hand of God yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness. And so if God's judgment on you in sin is just judgment, and it doesn't cause you to turn back and do right, you may still not even be a child of God. You may still be a sinner, lost in sin, just reaping what you've sowed. But if the chastening hand of God causes you to get right, causes you to straighten up and do right, and yield the peaceable fruit of righteousness, then it very well may be that you're a child of God, and God's dealing with you as His child. Amen and amen. I'm telling you what we ought to do. We ought to avoid sin. We ought to abstain from every and all appearance of evil. This is Pastor Shepherd. Thank you for tuning in today. Tune in this same time tomorrow for the Sending Forth the Light radio broadcast, and may God bless you.